My name is Danny Painter, and I host a show called Love Songs with Danny Painter on Jacaranda FM in South Africa every Monday to Thursday. And on that show, I get to speak to some really incredible human beings. Human beings who've overcome things, human beings who've lived a really big, incredible life, and human beings who have inspired me to try and live a bigger, more incredible, adventurous life. And hopefully, they can inspire you. So here is one of those human beings.
Because of COVID, it feels like I haven't played forever.
But you feel like you haven't played in forever.
Well, in South Africa. So, you know, if you factor in the fact that COVID lasted like 2.5 years or whatever that period was, you know, I think it was just a general absence from most musicians. And then I never really got to capitalize on when South Africa opened up. So I guess that absence seems a lot longer.
So you're telling me you've been cheating on us for all this time, that we've been thinking that you're here pining, that you can't come and play for us, and yet you're out there living your best life with other people. This is disgusting behavior, Carl. Disgusting.
Something like that.
Okay, so there's a new single coming. Obviously, you've been busy and you've been touring, but you've also been dadding and doing a lot of family-type stuff. Tell me how you're balancing being Khan Morbi, the artist and the performer, and Khan the dad.
I guess it's not really balanced. I would say I'm more focused on my dad exec role, and yeah, when I do have spare time, I kind of I'm feverishly writing, and I'm busy working on a new album, and I'm recording it all here, which is quite a fun project because I'm learning a lot in terms of documenting the music. You know, previously I'd always go into studio. I'd write demos at home, and then I'd go into studio and, you know, do it all professionally. Now I don't have that sort of engineer to help guide me through the process. I am the engineer and the producer from the side. And then I am sending it to someone to mix it and all of that jazz. But it's a massive learning curve. And so when my kids are at school and all of that stuff, I tinker in my lab. And then, I wouldn't say, for me, they're my priority at the moment. And every now and again, I get to scratch itch and go and play live. Fairly recently, myself and Glenn went and did like a duo tour in Germany. Oh. And that was super cool. And then we just kind of planning the very like low key shows in and around the Netherlands. He's working as a drama teacher at the moment. And I'm also a drama teacher because kids are full of drama. So I'm just managing the kids are just drama queens. Yep. I'm just managing that for the time being.
I find it incredible how kids humble you. We go from being these amazing worldly wide traveled VVIP rock stars to, like you say, managing drama and doing math homework. And it's such a, I can't even imagine what it must be like for you, but it must be such a shock to the system, but also not, because I mean, you've been there from day one, right? You knew they were coming, but it's a lot. Kids are work, dude.
No, big time. And I think sometimes we try and, we look at them through the lens of everything we know and we've experienced, and we get frustrated with them, but they're only 5 and 7. They haven't quite connected all the dots. And you're like, why are you doing that? And then you're like, only 5.
Yeah. Cause I'm a baby still.
Yeah, exactly.
Khan, so, I'm 37 and I still do stuff where my mother goes, why are you doing that? And I'm like, I'm a baby still.
Exactly. No, look, we never quite grow up either. So yeah, look, I do say it's a difficult job.
Yeah.
Managing little people. It's probably more difficult than having to kind of get up on stage and, potentially face rejection.
Oh, dude, no, it's way more responsibility. You have way more responsibility as a dad. You can get up on stage, you could have six beers and we wouldn't have cared. You cannot get up in the morning and have six beers and they're not going to, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have humans to make.
No, that's, well, I don't want to make any more, but yes, I've got,
I mean, I've make
shape.
Them good.
I have humans to shape. I don't want to make any more.
Make them good. Okay, yeah. But let's quickly touch on the balance thing, because, I mean, obviously before you were just writing demos at home, then you go into studio and you would record and you would sit with a group of people. Now, your studio is where you live, where you eat, where you dad, where you do everything. How do you not either spend all of your time there or absolutely none of your time there? Like, how do you make yourself do the work?
Yeah, I think, I guess just the design of the space that we live in, this little section is right at the top floor and nothing much else happens in here except for our wardrobe there and the wardrobe. And the wardrobe serves as some actually good soundproofing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of like my office. I just kind of walk to the third floor and you know, there's not the, I guess, the distractions that home has. It's a separate space. And maybe I'll just compartmentalize it. Like, go in there and be productive.
I think that's something we can all learn. Okay, so you're talking about working on a new album. Before we talk about the single that you're about to drop, tell me a little bit, if you can, whatever you can tell me, I will gladly appreciate it. What can we expect from this new album?
Okay, so this particular song is not off the new album.
Yes, I know. It's off of the previous
Okay,
song.
But what can we expect? Yeah. So, well, the new album, I think the nature of having to record it on my own and at home, it is a lot more stripped down. And I have to kind of go, I have to put sort of restrictions in place and go, you know, you can only play a certain amount of instruments. And, you know, you only have a certain timeline and you only have certain capacity. So try and limit the amount of instruments that you put on it and, you know, simplify it, I guess.
Okay.
So I say that now, but I know down the journey, eventually I'm adding in synths and all sorts of brass sections and stuff. But, for now, I think it's going to be a lot more simple. And I think, I've had a lot more time to actually work on the craft of my guitar, you know, cause I think what happens in a lot of musos is when you, become successful, as a result, you become a touring band and you have very little time to actually hone your craft.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of just relentlessly on the go, copying and duplicating or copy and pasting the previous night's performance. You're rehashing what you already know. And at least I've had time to kind of just up my skills, and especially also on the production side, understanding the software and all of that jazz. So yeah, I don't know what to expect. It's either going to sound terrible or it's going to, but yeah, it's just the next, chapter in this journey.
No, dude, it's you. It's never gonna sound terrible. I also, it's never not gonna sound like you. Even if you're experimental, I always feel like you bring it back to you, and it's a sound that we know and love. So I'm ready for it. Any idea when we can expect that, or is that like a work in progress?
I should put something. I should put a deadline on it. Otherwise, it will just be a work in progress and, you know, until infinity. But I hope to have finished recording all my parts by the end of the year.
Okay.
And then take like sort of January and February next year to finesse it. And then, you know, I might, you know, you touched on it earlier, and I might not just release it all at once, which is the traditional way. Even though I may have recorded it all at once, I will kind of try the new hip digital age strategy of drip feeding it as a single and see what happens. I don't know.
But this is what everyone's doing, right? We did touch on this earlier, and you were saying that you record and then you release and release and release and release. And every single artist that I'm speaking to, granted, I could be their mothers, their mother. I'm much older than all of them at this point, but they're all doing recording and releasing within 2 weeks and then hitting the studio again in the next 2 weeks and recording and releasing. And it's single, 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 single. And I might be old con and you might not agree with me, but I would like to know from you. For me, it doesn't then feel like a cohesive anything, right? Because it's just single, single, single. And I'm of the age where I like to buy an album and listen to the artist's story from beginning, middle, and end and go on the journey that they've kind of spent time putting together. Mm. I don't know if I'm wrong or right or old, probably old.
No, no. Well, I mean, I actually just think it comes down to preference, and I'm in your camp where that's how I like to consume the music that I like, and it's also, I guess, the type of music I want to create. Mm. Is that it? You know, and I like, you know, I like bands like Arcade Fire and Pink Floyd that do that. The album is one unit, and it does take you on this journey. So, you know, I kind of, and obviously we, you know, we're always, aspiring, and we're always learning from the people that inspire us. So, I guess, yeah, for me, I'm going to continue to probably document it as an album. I understand in the new age why they don't, because you blow all your attention at once, right?
Mm.
And we know that the news feed and the timelines on social media, where everything sort of exists, it's a fast timeline. So if you go, hey, here's my new album, all 12 songs, you know, on day one, well, you know, you're going to have 12 seconds of attention. So you can, what I guess the approach now is to kind of go, okay, well, he has this one song. He has some behind the scenes footage around the one song. He has the lyrical inspiration behind the one song. He has the video, he has the lyrical video, and then you can kind of slowly drip feed all this content around this one thing over a couple of weeks, and then, you know, rinse and repeat it with the next song. But I think what starts to happen is you kind of get shaped by an algorithm, which is the algorithm is to say, this is how this digital age wants it, and you feeding that algorithm as opposed to kind of creating something that's unique to you. But then again, you know, if that's what the world wants, you also have to kind of
no,
do the dance. No.
No, we fought for more. This is the least, the smallest fight we're ever gonna have. Is for the music. We need to stand some, you know?
No, yeah, exactly. No, so I'll continue to release albums. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's a good, we'll see. Well, let's see next year, May, when it all happens.
Also, though, yeah. Just this on this, I feel like it's more stressful to do it this way that everyone's doing it at the moment, right? Because there's constantly this pressure to better and better and better. And I feel like when you've done an album, it's done and you can now look at like the next whole album, but you know that you have a body of work that you love and can lean on, and it's already been through all of the thinking and all of the everything. So I don't know. I feel like it's more stressful to do it this way.
Well, yes and no. The thing is, I'd say it's less stressful because you've got multiple chances. You know, you can, if you only go approach it as a single that you release every month. If month January is a bit of a dud, you've got February. And if that's a dud, you've still got March, April, May. But if you release that one album that you spent a lot of time and energy, and everyone just misses track number 8 because they just didn't get around to listening to it, it's like a lot of wasted energy and efforts. And, you know, they just discount it as the whole thing's a dud. And you're like, well, you even listened to track 8. And no, they didn't. So people's attention spans are so fleeting. And you know, if everyone's shouting, hey, look at me, here's my new song, and you're going, hey, look at me, every 12 months, here's my new album.
whole album.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, you kind of, you're fighting, unless you're comfortable with that approach, and you go to a more focused approach, and you know, there's this whole theory around 1,000 true fans, and you just make it for them. You don't care about the 300,000 fans on Facebook or whatever. You just go, okay, I've got my 1,000 fans, and he has a new album, and just, you know, it's all about them. And I think that should be the approach.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, even they, you don't have their attention all the time. I don't know. It's an attention thirsty environment that we're in, and I understand why musos feel the need to kind of just constantly push out content, even though, you know, sometimes not even songs.
It's a very privileged position to be in, I think, to look back one day and have seen how this shifted. You know, it shifts every so often, and I think we were in the middle of moving from one idea and how you do it into the next. And I think it's a position of privilege, and I think in the long run, I think you specifically, like musicians of your age group and your stature, because you guys are huge, and yourself, you know, I think you can really speak to the up and comers around both sides, and I think then when we're old, you're going to have a really good understanding of both of them, and you're going to be able to say, no, listen, no, not that again. Don't do that. That did not work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I think it will always work if it's authentic. If you can quickly do it and turn it around and have fun in the process of releasing a single every 2 weeks or whatever it is, that's awesome, you know, and it comes across sincerely and all of that stuff. Authenticity should always win. And look, it's not far removed from how it used to be. I mean, you know, when records, those 45s, they could only release a single at a time, and there would be the single, and then on the B side would be on the other side of the record. And sometimes the singles didn't even reach the album. You know, if you look at, you go back to the Beatles era and, you know, look at sort of a lot of their singles might not have necessarily gone onto the album that they might have released later.
I definitely need to learn more about this previous, pre-me music era. I didn't know that. That's very cool. That's actually really cool to know. Thank you.
Yeah. so it's not unfamiliar. I think it's,
nothing is con. I was telling people the other night, my mom was saving her pants for me because she said that they would come back. And I said, never in a million years are those vile mom jeans ever going to be rebirthed. And true as God, they're currently in all of the big department stores. Yeah. And she said, yeah, you see, I told you, come get them. I was like, never send them.
Yeah. Well, some things shouldn't come back, like buffaloes, but apparently they are. I don't know.
Listen, Khan, some of my best memories were in those green buffaloes, hey? That was good times.
Don't admit it.
Okay, so speaking of albums, A World at Suicide. Firstly, it's been on for a little while. I mean, we've loved it here at Jack, but we live in the Jacaranda FM box. How's it been across the board? How's it been received?
Yeah, I mean, I can now retire and sail the world on my yacht.
Yes, good for you. Only now, Khan. I thought many times over.
Yeah, I mean, on my other yacht, so my yacht only from the proceeds of this album. No, I mean, yeah, it's. I can't say it went to number one on the charts. I don't even know if it's, you know, got extensive radio play, but it's, yeah, I think from the people that matter, which is, you know, the fan base that I do engage with, and that's primarily on either on social media or, you know, in a live environment. Yeah, very well. They seem to enjoy it. You know, I don't think anyone will ever directly go, if they're a fan, that your last album sucked.
Nice fans.
And also, you don't like you used to in the past, which, you know, would sometimes be, if it was constructive, you would get sort of the feedback loop from reviewers, but that doesn't really happen anymore. And no one really reviews an album. So I guess I'm not really ever getting an objective opinion. And sometimes they weren't objective. Sometimes they were just like completely toxic and humorous at the same time. So I don't know. I have to admit that it's not, I think for me, the validation, I don't really care about that. I love the process of recording music and putting it out there. And if it resonates with some people, that's cool. But, you know, I'm not really doing it for accolades or affirmations. They're nice to get to kind of validate that you did something nice, or it's, you know, you did a good job. But yeah, that's not why I do it.
We all need this energy.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you need it because it affords you a livelihood. And I guess that the most sort of, best way of affirming whether you're doing a job well enough is if you can generate some sort of a livelihood out of it. And if you can, that's all that matters, really. And if you can be lucky enough to continue to create your musings and there's enough people supporting it, then that's all the validation you really need. The rest is the cherry on top.
This is very wise, Khan. These are very wise words. I'm going to clip this and listen to this in the car. You know, like in those Hollywood movies you see where people are trying to calm themselves and they're listening to these tapes, these self-help tapes. You're going to be mine.
Okay.
Don't need validation, Danny. Don't need validation.
No, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, no, it's difficult. I mean, we're still human, so I can't say it's not a nice thing to have, and obviously I can't say that I'm not affected or impacted by rejection or nastiness, but I'm very aware that it's not going to stop me doing something like rejection, and it's also validation is not, it's not what I'm seeking. I'm in love with the process, and that's where the nurturing, you know, that's what I'm nourished by. Not praise.
You're so healthy. It must be nice to get it, to have it all together like that. I know you don't always. I know that.
No, of course not. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you sound so good though. Okay, so new single, Off of a World at Suicide. It drops this week, if I remember correctly, and it's called In Search of Better Days.
Yes.
What would you like us to take from this song?
It's quite I have to admit from the onset, the only lyric I wrote in that song was In Search of Better Days. So Rob, he's the keyboardist in our band, he would often play this riff, this piano riff during soundcheck, and I was like, hey, that's a great song. I want to put that on my next album. And I would just riff some words over it, mostly nothing, but I would end it with In Search of Better Days, and you go dong da dong da dong. And then he came with a song, documented, and he'd put In Search of Better Days, and I liked his lyrics. Some of them were very random, like there was a man from the edge of town who, and he's like, you can change those lyrics. I just put them there as like a bookmark, and I was like, no, I think the words are cool. The fact that they're slightly nonsensical, it lends itself to being interpreted by the listener in whichever way. So yeah, Rob wrote 90% of the lyrics aside from that In Search of Better Days. And I mean, I guess it's kind of melancholic, where I think most people are most of the time in life and society, and kind of one, you know, pondering their reason for existence and their place in this world, and mm-hmm. so questioning the narratives and the messages and the political and social rhetoric that gets kind of spewed our way. And it's just being about being frustrated and questioning all of that. But going, I'm on this life journey, and I'm kind of not that satisfied with what I see in the rearview mirror. I'm pursuing. I'm in search of better days.
I needed this song. I did listen to it. They did send it to me, and I definitely needed this song. It is out this week, and you can get it everywhere. It is off of the album A World at Suicide. And Khan, last thing, the last time we spoke, you promised me you were coming to TikTok. Did you make a TikTok? Have you joined the realm?
I made about 3, and then I was like, I still don't know what to do. I need to up that game, to be honest. But I will. I'm taking dancing lessons.
Okay. So the next time we see you, there will be 6 TikToks, no more 3. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I'll double my
3 every single.
yeah. And I know you're still a busy TikToker.
I am. I posted something and I was complaining to you the last time that nothing was working. I posted something. I don't know what I did. I don't know what happened, but it just went. Yeah.
I did it. I went viral.
But now I have pressure because now I don't know what I did.
Well, I think as well with that game, it's actually just about volume, right? It's a quantity game. The more you kind of.
Consistency.
Something might just hit. So.
Like life, actually.
Yeah, actually, that's it. Actually, you got to be in the game, and you got to constantly pitch up, and now and again, you get lucky.
This is true. Khan, thank you so much for chatting to me today. This has been awesome, as usual. Good luck for the new single. I don't know if we say good luck. What do we say? I said this to someone leaving to go on stage, and I was like, do we still say break a leg? Like, what do we say?
Either or, good luck, break a leg.
May the force be with you.
Yeah, that's better. I like that.
May the force be with you, and we will find you on the TikTok.
Yeah, with my 6 videos.
That is a pinky. Hey, that's a pinky promise again.
Yeah, done.
Pinky. Khan, thank you so much. Have a lekker afternoon.
You too. Thanks for the chat again.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my goodness, you listened all the way to the end. I'm so stoked. Thank you for listening. If you're looking for more conversations like that, uplifting, motivating, loving, and just like all of the good things, all you need to do is listen to jacarandafm.com every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 10 p.m. Or you can just search Love Songs with Danny Painter or Danny Painter wherever you get your podcasts. You can also go and check them out on our YouTube channel on jacarandafm.com. I'll catch you next time for another really lacquer conversation. Be safe. Love you.